Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is the gospel lesson. We're just a moment ago from John chapter 12. We've been looking this Lenten season at the preaching and teaching of Jesus during the Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week in the temple in Jerusalem. On Wednesday and Thursday, Jesus would spend much time preparing his closest disciples for what was to come in a more private way. But late Tuesday afternoon, he spoke for the last time to a large crowd of people gathered to hear him in the temple. What would he say in that final public appearance before his death? Jesus had said many times before, "My time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come." But now he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, this must have sounded very exciting to many in the crowd. Many were expecting that the promised Messiah, the Christ, would rise up and overthrow Roman and Greek domination and make Israel once again one of the top nations on earth, with a leader who would rule forever in a kingdom here on earth. How glorious that would be for the people of Israel once again. Instead, Jesus begins to describe himself as a grain of wheat and went on to say, "Truly, truly," literally in the Greek it's "amen, amen," "this is most certainly true, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus was predicting again his suffering and death coming in just a few days. And it was going to be a terrible suffering and a horrible death. And Jesus then said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No, Jesus did not say that. "For this purpose," he said, "I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Well, the crowd heard something, but they weren't sure what it was. Some thought it was thunder, and others thought an angel had spoken to Jesus. Well, Jesus knew that the Heavenly Father was affirming once again that he, Jesus, must die, and that he must die by being lifted up on a cross. And to many, that might look as if Satan and the evil forces in this world that he rules, they had defeated Jesus and gotten rid of him. In fact, you could read just after the death of Christ, some of his own disciples were so discouraged they thought everything was over, there was no hope at all in Jesus. But it would actually be the very opposite. Through his suffering and death, Jesus would break the power of Satan and forgive all sins, suffering the punishment of God's forsakenness that we and all people deserve. He took it all upon himself. He would die, but on the third day he would be lifted up out of death and the grave and raised to life again. His grave would be empty, and 40 days later he would be lifted even farther up to heaven at his ascension. As Jesus prayed on Maundy Thursday, the night before his death, as recorded in John's gospel, Jesus said, "Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." Jesus truly was God the Son. He'd been with the Father and the Holy Spirit in all eternity. He'd been there at creation. He was there up until this point where he came into this world to become man for us. to do the saving work which only he could do for us and for the whole world. He was going to die for all, and that's what he did. Jesus makes this very clear, as he says in our text, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He did enough to save everyone, no matter who they are or what they have been. And he wanted all to come to faith in him. He wished to draw all people to him. People could, of course, still resist, reject, refuse this saving work that was accomplished by Christ Jesus. And that is what many on the crowd, that Tuesday of Holy Week, were actually doing. They said to Jesus, when they heard him saying these things about his death, "We've heard from the law, from what they understood from their rabbis and from the Old Testament scriptures, that the Christ, the promised Messiah, remains forever. How can you say," they were asking Jesus, "that the Son of Man must be lifted up to die?" It made no sense to them. And they didn't want to hear of a suffering and dying Messiah. They wanted a glorious Messiah. And their vision was still of a glorious Messiah who would conquer all of Israel's enemies and reign forever as their leader here on earth. If Jesus was talking about dying, he couldn't be the promised Son of Man, though he said he was. And so they ask him, "Who is the true Son of Man?" They've already ruled Jesus entirely out. But Jesus didn't give up on these people, in spite of their skepticism. His last words to that crowd showed that. Earlier he had said, "I am the light of the world." Again, that's good news, he says, for the whole world, as he was dying for everyone, for all. "And whoever follows me," Jesus said, "will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light and life now in this world and forever in heaven. Well, that Tuesday, Jesus' last words to the crowds and to us were these: "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." What wonderfully good news that is for us to hear still today, as we have been brought to faith in Jesus as our Savior. We know it's a gift by the grace of God and not by any of our efforts. The scriptures remind us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God, working through gifts like baptism. We know now where we are headed as children of light by the light of Christ and his Word. Jesus assures us of that just before his suffering and death. And this is good news to be shared with all, Jesus says, for Christ wants to draw all people to himself. Sadly, it's true that there are some churches and groups that don't agree with this idea. They say that Jesus only died for a certain select number of people, that he didn't really die for all people. And therefore, you couldn't say to a group of people as Jesus did, "Jesus died for you." That voice of theirs and their idea is totally wrong. It's very clear what Jesus is saying. And on this Tuesday of Holy Week, he said, even to that crowd resisting him that day, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you too may become sons of light." There was still hope and always hope for them or for anyone. There, of course, can come a time that's too late if people both live and die in the darkness, apart from Christ, not knowing where they are going, as Jesus talked about that Tuesday. And the Apostle John also, who wrote these words from the Gospel of John, used the very words of Jesus in one of his letters when he writes with sadness of one who is in the darkness and wait and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It's the saddest thing. But that's why we have a church and a school and Bible classes and Sunday school and all the other activities by which we can be encouraged in faith in Jesus, to hear his words and promises and be absolutely certain about them. And we're able also then to share that wonderfully good news about Jesus with others, even though still in darkness. This passage is encouraging us to think about the opportunities we have to do that, and we pray that the Lord helps us to see those so that more can come to their faith in the Savior and be drawn to Christ. Let us pray. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds safe, only where they are safe in Christ Jesus our Lord. And help us also, Lord Jesus, to see and to use opportunities to share that peace and that light of Christ with other people still in the darkness. In your name we pray and ask your blessing. Amen.